You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
This episode of Wicked Horror Show is broadcast live to Facebook. In this episode, we're talking about the upcoming movie, A Nun's Curse. And we're joined by two members of the cast, Erica Edwards, who you also know from Family Possession. She's part of Honeyhead Productions, along with our great friend, Christy Ray. Super talented. And actor Damien Maffei. He's been in a ton of independent horror, but most recently, he was the Masked Man in The Strangers Pray at Night. Very cool. And as always, if you like what you hear, head over to facebook.com/thedorkening every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a live show just like this one. Head over to thedorkening.com to check out all the other shows on the Dorkening Podcast Network. Lots of great shows like Secret Underground, Hideout, The Dorkening, Ultimate Video Game Show, Dork Physique, awesome stuff. Go check it out. Subscribe, comment, and listen to all the episodes. And lastly, check out our sponsors, Deadly Grounds Coffee. Go to deadlygroundscoffee.com. Pick up some awesomeness. It's what powers us. It's what makes us who we are. Without them, we would just be tired nerds. But now we're woke dorks. I am sorry for that. But first, hey, how about you enjoy the show, and then you can complain about that comment afterwards.
Here we are with us. We have Wolfman.
Oh, can you hear Kev?
When the intro is running, I can't hear anybody. Kevin's okay. Here.
Yeah, okay. That's me. All right. Just want to make sure I asked you a question. You're just like staring at the screen like a psychopath.
You don't exist.
Yeah.
Okay. Everything's all messed up tonight. Tony's here.
What's going on, people?
Yo, yo.
Now, is everything all messed up because Tony's here, or is how you said that kind of flew together?
No, it's how it's set up. I'm totally thrown off because I can't hear myself in the monitors anymore.
It was a joke. How you said it, it flowed right into Tony's intro. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Erica Edwards from the movie A Nun's Curse.
Hello. It's good to be here.
He's like,
can I stare pointedly into the camera too?
And Damien Maffei from A Nun's Curse as well. Also, you have a couple other horror movies under your belt, sir. Thank you all for joining us this evening.
Nikos the Impaler.
Yeah, Nikos the Impaler. It's his biggest one. No, so there's a fairly large horror movie that came out in mainstream cinema. Over the last, how many months ago? I don't know.
Three.
Was it been 3 months that you were? Yeah. Yeah.
Pride Night one is March.
Yeah, March. So you are the masked man in the new Strangers movie.
Sure.
And I was extremely excited for this one because I'm a big fan of the original. The original one, I refer people to that all the time. I'm like, mainstream horror is not scary. I'm like, see The Strangers. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it scared the crap out of me. Like, it legit did. So
it's a good one.
That in the Conjuring, you know, I mean.
What'd you say, Wolfie?
I said that like the Conjuring movies, you know, they're just creepy as hell.
But I mean, you've acted in other horror movies besides that. Like, you've been acting for a while. But just that, you know, we'll get into The Nun's Curse in a minute, but I'm just curious, like, how was it intimidating to you to step into that role in the new Strangers movie?
No. You know, they greenlit that movie finally for real, because for a while it had stumbled along there. And, you know, Johannes and them, he specifically wanted actors cast for those parts, you know, as opposed to, you know, gifted stunt performers or what have you. So they're holding auditions, and one of the producers whom I had worked with before, he had recommended me for it. He said, you know, I know this guy Damien, you know, he's the right size for it. He's a good actor, or a great actor, amazing, I think he said. I'll ask him. I'll get back to you. And he said, but, you know, he loves this horror shit. And, you know, so if he wants to do it, he'll get into it. And then so they asked me and I was like, wow, I mean, that's really cool. Like, I don't think I want to do it because it's like, I love this stuff. And this sounds cool. This sounds like a movie I'd like to do. But remembering the first Strangers, which is such a great flick and so effective. I mean, most of what was effective about the movie is that they're like kind of in the background, not really, you know, see them, you know, their flash or this and that. So I just felt like, what do you need me for? You know, you could literally almost get anyone to just do that. And then I can watch the movie unobjectively and enjoy it. Hmm. But they sent me the script anyway. And it goes in a different direction. Obviously the movie has a little different flavor to it. Still, you know, still junk food. It's just different flavor. You know, there's a little more actiony stuff. And there was things there that I thought that I could bring something to. I mean, it's not like, you know, Richard III. Some things I could bring stuff to. So to answer your question after 10 minutes, no, I wasn't. I mean, it's, you know, it was sort of an iconic thing. And I liked the first Strangers and I knew it had a fan base. But I mean, really can't mess it up, I don't think. From where it was, like, you know, there's nothing to, like, walks mostly in the movie, in the first one. So, like, it wasn't intimidating to me.
Okay.
Not to disrespect him or the first movie. I mean, that's not it. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, I mean, there wasn't much to go on, so.
Yeah.
You know, I just did whatever.
You just did what you did.
Yeah, yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Tried to bring fun to it.
It was fun. Me and my my wife loved the first one, and I constantly threatened her with the, you know, with the idea of getting one of those masks and just waiting outside a window, and she threatens to push me off a roof. But whatever. But yeah, so we were excited that when it was coming out, so we, you know, made a special trip. Like, we go to the movies all the time, but we never go together because you don't even talk during a movie. So we actually went to that one together, and you know, we were pleased with it. So,
I know it's different. I know I've heard from many, many people over the months here. Been mostly great. There's a couple of people who, you know, we ruined their childhoods. It's different. So
yeah, you're always gonna get that, though. You're always gonna get it.
Look, we knew we were out there. You know, we just had to go with Johannes. He was like, you know, we're gonna have fun with it and do a little John Carpenter here and there and whatever. So, you know, I have heard from a lot of people who love the first one, that love this one. That's really nice because they kind of get it, you know, a little bit. Like two of my favorite movies are, well, I mean, I like Wreck, you know, like the Spanish Wreck, but I love Wreck too. And it's that kind of, it's a little different, you know, it's a little different speed and that's just how I feel.
Yeah. They're not redoing the movie over and over again. They went a different, little bit of a different direction, which isn't a bad thing.
Like Gremlins 2.
Right.
Which was
28 days later, 28 weeks later. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Aliens. I'm not saying it's aliens, but aliens.
Yeah. So, but besides that, you're both involved in a new project that's currently on Indiegogo, and I know you've more than doubled your first stretch goal, and that movie's called A Nun's Curse. So, yep. Erica, do you want to maybe talk a little bit about A Nun's Curse?
Yeah, so I actually just, Tommy sent me the script. It's almost done. He sent it to me today, and I got to read through it, and I'm really excited about it. It's going to be a fun ride for the audience, I think. It has all, like, you know, the practical gore that you would expect from his films, but there's also some interesting kind of psychological stuff going on in it. So I think it's going to be an interesting, just the fact that it takes place in pretty much one location, I think adds to that, kind of the trippy nature of it. And so I think it's going to, I think it's going to be a really fun experience for the audience. And the characters are fun. And, you know, I was saying earlier, Christy Ray and I are, you know, we're best friends, and now we get to play sisters on camera, on screen. So it's going to be a fun sister relationship we have. It's pretty interesting.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it looks like a pretty cool location too. What can you tell us about the location?
So from what I know, we're actually shooting on location in the abandoned building. It's an abandoned prison. It's like an old jail. So it'd be out there. So I think, you know, the reactions you see might, you know, there's going to be a lot there to add to that practical nature, I think, to the reactions to what's going on. Because, you know,
yeah,
and it's besides, an old basement in a jail.
Yeah. Besides yourself and Christy and Damian, also one of our other favorite people that we've had on the show multiple times is Felissa Rose,
who's
playing the nun, which I'm pretty excited for because, I mean, obviously we've seen her in multiple roles, but I've never seen her like a monster. Like it looks like she's gonna,
right?
From what I can understand from like the mock-up of a poster, it's gonna be one of those like effects heavy kind of deals with her. And I don't really see that too often with her. So I'm kind of excited to see what you can bring to it.
Yeah, I am too. Coming from Family Possessions where she played my mom, and then going into this where she is sort of that creepy antagonist character, I think she's going to have fun with it, knowing her. She's a great, she's a phenomenal actress. So I think that she's going to have a lot of fun with it. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Now, Damian, you've worked with Felissa in the past as well, right?
Yeah. I don't think we were in any scenes together. I'm barely in that thing. But, yeah, we were in the same movie together. Movie. Yeah. Yes.
Movie, in the sense of it's like about 90 minutes long.
That's it. That's the only thing. It's the only qualifying aspect of it. Yeah. What a good one.
Kev, he's all like, I told you all that stuff in private, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm not asking.
I thought we got this out of our system. No, just the Impaler. Check it out at your, I don't know where
library.
You find that.
Yeah, library.
Your library.
Goodwill, I'm sure, has multiple, you know.
Local churches.
Yeah.
So yes, but Felissa and I did buddy up on that movie off screen, kind of like, you know, like maybe you would do in like, you know, like a any like horrible circumstance, you know, like maybe like everyone's like dying and you're like hiding in a trench with like a friend,
yeah,
and you know, like you're gonna bond, right? Yeah. So that's kind of what that was there. It was like my like what is this that's happening here? What are we doing? And that was probably I think my first movie ever. It was supposed to be my first paying job. They didn't pay me. But I think that was my first one. So usually you like your first thing, you know, you're bright eyed and it's all great. But even then I was like, this is no good.
But you,
I may not survive this.
You continued, and that you could have, you know, in any normal person, they would have just been like, "I'm out of here, I'm done, I'm going to go wait tables again," but no, you kept at it,
persistent.
Yeah, stupid.
No, not stupid.
Foolish. I think the word persistent.
Yeah. So have you? I'm assuming you've run into Felissa since then. Do you still have like flashbacks of those times whenever you see her?
Have I? Well, I'm trying to think of the last time I saw her. Anytime, well, I mean, you know, when I see Felissa, I still see penis. So,
we all.
Even then. So it's hard to get away from the penis. So, I don't know, Erica, if you, I mean, surely you know that about the penis.
Indeed.
Okay.
Indeed.
Have you seen the movie?
I know of it. I know of the penis.
But have you actually seen it, though?
Yes.
Okay.
It's something.
I have.
And it's not even, it's just a guy with a mask on. But still, it's very effective. You know, people still reference, they referenced it on Robot Chicken. Like they, you know, it's a thing. And
one of the best twist indies ever, man. I mean, yeah. Really.
It's literally
especially when you watch a movie at like 10 years old and then you watch and you're like, okay, well, that's.
Yeah, well, because the thing is, it's not like that brutal of a movie. Like
it's, no, it's not. It's very tame.
Just like, yeah, what the hell is this?
That's
yeah.
A good point there, because if you're, you know, growing up, usual kind of like messed up kid watching slasher flicks. You know, you're watching Friday the 13th. You get your boobs. Maybe you're watching some Halloween movies, or you know, Slaughter High, or whatever the hell. You know, and then you know, you put on Sleepaway Camp. You know, you put on The Burning. You get on Sleepaway Camp. Penis isn't supposed to show up there, especially not on a woman. Like that's out of line.
And it might even seem a little tame compared to some of the other stuff you're watching. It may even be to the point of like, this ain't nothing compared to like what I'm watching. All of a sudden, you're like, what the hell was that?
Yeah, well, if you're going to watch Slaughter High, then.
Well, yeah. I mean, especially at that point in time, the lower budget, it was more implied stuff. And you're like, okay, this happened. Really. Okay, this happened. And then right at the end, you're like, okay, well, that's
most of that stuff is off screen, I think, right? Like the bee thing, wasp thing or whatever. And then there's like,
I mean,
the severed head and then penis. And you're like, is this the same fucking movie? What's happening?
But because of that, she has lines of people waiting to meet her at conventions every time she's there.
Sick perverts.
She's phenomenal, though. She's phenomenal. Like, She's the best person with her fans. Like, it's ridiculous.
You ask me a question, and I do what I do. I don't remember what the question is. Did you ask me if I'd worked with her before?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Well, I know you
with the other technically, no.
Yeah.
On the sidelines.
Yeah. Well, never on the same set at the same time.
Right? I was probably, you know what? I ran the sound for one day in Nikos. Yes. So technically, we did work together. I had the boom. That's how good a movie that was.
And you still didn't get paid.
Yeah, that's not supposed to happen. Nope, absolutely not. Didn't get credit for that either.
The funny thing is that this is probably the most press that movie has gotten ever.
I've been doing interviews, you know, for like the past couple of months consistently, and I keep bringing it up. Like no one else brings it up. I keep bringing it up.
So, there you go, then.
Nikos too. Yeah.
So, what's the plan on Nun's Curse? Like, you said that the script is pretty much it's almost finished. What's the plan on like when they're planning on starting the production, like the actual filming?
And actually, before you get into that, I want to remind everybody that if you check the show notes down below or up above, depending on where you're watching us, you're going to find a ton of information about A Nun's Curse and our awesome guests here. And we also should bring up that, you know, I thought about a different way of bringing it in when talking about horror and penises and stuff, but Deadly Grounds Coffee is a sponsor of ours. And
speaking of penises.
Yeah.
I could only imagine what went through his head thinking that, like, yeah. Oh, segue. Like,
how do I stir my penises?
Coffee.
Yeah, how do I usually stir the coffee? That's right, penises.
Yeah. Three things that keep them awake at night. Horror, penises, and coffee.
So, are you drinking anything tonight, Kevin?
I am not. I'm getting over a cold.
Okay. I'm drinking Death by Chocolate, and as you know, I absolutely love this coffee. And, you know, you need to try it out yourself. You'll love it as well, but don't listen to us. Here's the zombie talking about Deadly Grounds Coffee.
So he won't be able to hear us now.
With over a dozen different roasts and flavors, Deadly Grounds can satisfy the most finicky of coffee addicts. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door!
Oh, they're so disgusting. Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. We have very active lifestyles. It's not all wandering the countryside aimlessly or scaring passing motorists. And we all love a good cup of joe. And there's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds coffee is my guilty pleasure. Bold, robust, delicious. It's coffee that can wake the dead. With over a dozen different roasts and flavors, Deadly Grounds can satisfy the most finicky of coffee addicts. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door! Oh, they're so disgusting.
And there we go. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of negative things were said about me.
Oh, nothing but negative. No, he was asking if it was On Deadly Ground, if it's like a coffee made about this Steven Seagal
film.
But it's not. It's Deadly Ground.
That would be amazing.
It is.
Yeah. And it's funny. It's like you look at Leo and he's like, he's got no idea what that reference is.
Yeah.
You get Under Siege coffee. You get, you know, dark territory roast and light territory.
Out for justice.
bunch of people in the chat room. Billy Baird says a nun's curse. I want to know if it was related to Curse of the Nun, and I believe it's not. If you check the show notes, there's a link to the Indiegogo. Now, are you still taking contributions towards the Indiegogo?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And there's for $35, you can get the special edition DVD signed. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
There's a click in my future.
Yeah, no doubt.
Need to add it to the wall, you know. I don't see any Blu-ray releases. I know you guys probably aren't the people to ask, but I want a Blu-ray release. Make it happen, guys.
There you go.
I'll wait.
I'll just refuse to show up until he agrees.
All right. I'll wait. That's it. We'll just, the show will keep going until the...
Get hold of him now. As we should. Well, we'll wait, you know.
He's playing kickball.
Okay, good to know.
Is he really yeah. playing kickball?
Playing kickball.
Oh, well, I see where priorities lie.
No, I got to play kickball tonight.
Yeah.
I definitely go with kickball. That,
I do.
So before the break, what was your question, Kevin?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I can tell you what it was.
No, what it was, yeah. What's the plan on filming? When is it going to start? When are you guys supposed to start filming that?
October 9th.
Well, all right.
Down in the Carolinas.
End of October.
And then where is it? What state is it filming in?
South Carolina.
Oh. Okay.
So we're going to be out there and down there.
Do you accept visitors to the set? I'm just throwing that. I know it's not your decision, but I happen to have some family members. I said, would you accept visitors to the set? I have family that they're actually moving to South Carolina as we speak. So
it's up to us.
It's up to us. Okay.
I can demand.
I think you could probably wander on. And
I can demand visitors.
There was no one with anything.
In the middle of a scene, I just walk through the background. Hi.
Yeah. I haven't given Tommy any trouble at all. And I mean, I can't keep that up, so I got to make him regret his decision to ask me to do this. So I, you know, slowly start making demands.
It's going to be ridiculous by the time everything actually starts filming.
You know,
just green M&M's.
A certain way.
There's Blue Apron on set every day.
Yeah,
Blue Apron. Yeah.
Wolfie, you have Horror Show 3000 in the chat room. Also, Billy, actually, we have a couple questions about the strangers coming from Facebook. And Yo-Yo, do you see those?
I'm watching YouTube.
Oh,
Yo-Yo looks frozen on my side.
Okay. Tony, you're handling Facebook?
I'll check it now with the... I don't see those questions, actually.
Leo, okay. Leo, why don't you ask him, Leo?
Anthony Thurber wants to know, what was the most challenging scene that you dealt with in Strangers Pray at Night? And Billy Beard wants to know, when is the third Strangers movie being made?
The most challenging physically was definitely the whole pool thing. That was the most fun, too. But, I mean, that whole sequence was shot in one night. I mean, I swung that axe at Lewis like 70 times. I fell once. Yeah, it was just physically demanding. I don't know if I was ready for it, but I did it. And then in the pool stuff, luckily that it was warm that day. The next time we were in there, it was not. So it was that. I mean, otherwise, I mean, it was the easiest job I've ever had in my life. Even the stuff, you know, like on fire, whatever, it was just fun. Like, I was like, this is awesome. Like, shit's on fire. This truck's on fire. That's great. You know, acting wise, it's really not much in there. I think scene in the band with the father was required the most on my part, mine and Martin's, because that was a tough scene for him. You know, it's a draining. You know, we were in the car van for like 6 hours. He's just got to keep bellowing and, you know, mewling like a little whiny bitch. That was also, I mean, that scene was why I wanted to do it. So I think those two.
So Damien, when you say that the pool thing they shot all in one night, did they shoot a lot of it? Like, did you shoot like in one take? You know, one continuous take and then go back and do it again? I mean,
we would shoot one continuous take up until I got pulled into the pool.
Okay.
There was three cameras going. There was one underwater, and then there's one on a jib, like 30 feet up, and then one guy on the land with us. So, you know, it would start with Lewis and Pinup and me walking in, and the guy would follow me in swinging, you know, we get that and we would do that, but we didn't like do it straight through with the underwater stuff was so crazy, and the underwater stuff I had to have the stunt double guy come in because I would have killed us both. So there was a guy that did like the twirl for me. His name was Matthew Scheib, really talented stunt guys. It's like the mask kept like swiveling on my face, and I had that coat on and the boots, so it was just like an anchor.
Yeah.
He came in, did some of that, really, really was great. But that was all one night.
Okay.
Strangers 3.
Strangers 3. Do you have any idea?
I don't know.
Okay, fair enough.
Is this someone that's asked me this question before?
I don't know.
It made its money.
Maybe they'll wait another 10 years to put up another one out, you know?
If it exchanges, you know, if it goes to another company, maybe. But I think that if they're going to do it, they would do it sooner rather than later.
If they approached you to, you know, do the role again, would you do it again? Well, I don't know if that's maybe that's a question I shouldn't have asked. I'm sorry.
I really like Johannes. I really like everyone on that movie. I like the producers. I mean, if it was that group again, probably. I think again, if it was more like this movie and not so much as the first one, not saying that this movie's better than that, but just as far as participation wise,
mm-hmm.
like for me, you know, I think if as long as there's an opportunity to keep kind of like bringing stuff to it,
Mm-hmm. Although I will say that, I mean, the backstory thing, I'm not really interested in that. Like finding out more about the characters, you know, like unmasked.
Yeah.
I'm not really, I don't think that's a great.
No, I don't care about that. It would give me
a lot more to do.
Right.
I like you're going in hair and makeup every morning.
Yeah.
You know, you just walk by the hair and makeup trailer. Just doesn't matter what you look like. It's great. It's great.
Everyone talked at once.
Yeah, actually, Yo-Yo should have a question from YouTube.
Okay.
Grant from YouTube is asking, bringing up the fact that you did pay us, for Erica, sorry. I should say who the question's for.
I'll answer it anyway.
There was another movie where he played Chrissy's sister. Wanted to know how beneficial that is towards a new role in A Nun's Curse.
Yeah, so is this Grant? Who's asking?
Was it Grant that was asking?
Yo-Yo? Grant asked that, yes.
Yep. Okay. Hi, Grant. So Chrissy and I... I wrote a short film for us called Lorelei, where we play sisters, and it was actually Tommy saw that film, and it was after he saw the short film, we sent him a screener link for it, and he saw it and then got in touch with both of us, and he said, if you're interested in the roles in A Nun's Curse, he's like, I saw that and I couldn't think of any two other people to play the sisters, so I'll cancel auditions for those roles if you want to have them. And we were like, yes, absolutely. So I think getting to explore more the sister relationship is going to make playing off of each other really interesting. Because the movie just jumps right in. So I think, and like, we're going to have to do a little homework with backstory so that people feel like they're connecting with the characters. And so that's kind of what we're going to try to work on as actresses and bring to the characters so that people can jump right in with the movie and feel connected with the characters right away.
And I'm dying to see that one as well, by the way. I'm just letting you know. That's one I want to see as well. Cause that's the one where you guys are like,
that's the New World Order shirt.
Yeah, you're all like, yeah, exactly, the wrestling shirt. You guys are all trashed up. And
Yeah.
It looks so, like, gritty. I just want to see it.
Yeah. We can, it's in consideration for some festivals right now, and then once it's kind of done its circuit, we'll make it available on Vimeo or YouTube for people to watch, yeah. Yes.
Well, I can't wait. Because you guys are doing a lot with you have a production company.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're working with a lot of different filmmakers around town. So we're acting, and then we're also writing and directing and producing things as well. So I like to shoot and edit too. So I'm kind of a tech brain, you know, which I think works with the character in A Nun's Curse. So I kind of get why Tommy thought of me, I think, you know, because I can be kind of tech nerdy. So, yeah. That's good.
Yeah, because I always see like all these stills and little like snippets of things you guys do, and I'm just like, I just want to see it all. So one of these days, hopefully, and either that, or maybe you guys can do like a full length feature that will come out, and then I can buy it.
That's the goal. That's the 2019 goal.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Just let me know, and let me know where to send the money. Don't
take
not
my
just,
money.
Just not too much. Yeah, take my money. My wife
we'll have
will
the Blu-ray. We'll get the Blu-ray by then, what? You know.
So. Oh my goodness, that's a promise. It's a promise right there.
It won't matter. He'll buy the DVD, and then the Blu-ray will come out. Goes, I can take more money.
Yeah. It's like, well, I already have the DVD. I might as well get the special edition Blu-ray. With a special cover, then I can get it signed. Then it's another $20, and then
you mean you know, they're putting a VHS copy out?
I have two VHSs of pieces of talent back here. Two.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have never watched either of them. I don't even have a VCR. I don't have a VCR. And I bought actually.
That's a fan.
Yeah, it is. Leo, on the other hand, actually, he gave me one of the VHSs. So.
I did. Yep. Yeah.
He gave you the white one with the bloody prints on it, right?
That's right. Nice. The flamey one, yeah.
Yeah, that like showed up in the mail one day, and it's
that's been like you think about that.
Yeah.
I have a bunch from back in the day. All the ones that still mean something to me, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Freaked, Usual Suspects, 7, you know, stuff like that. Yeah.
Now, I don't know if we brought it up yet, but Damien, during the sit-down, you were talking about you also have another movie coming out this fall.
Right, yeah.
Is that something you can talk about, or is it like under wraps?
I can talk a little bit about it. I wish I could talk about the release date, but I think that's probably about a week or so from being announced. Should be in the fall sometime. It's called Haunt. It's produced by Eli Roth, and it was directed and written and directed by the guys that wrote and produced A Quiet Place.
Nice.
Scott Beck and Brian Woods. And it's, you know, it's one of these shoddy extreme haunt movies, which I think I've seen like 5 are coming out this year. But this one, you know, is irresponsibly violent and, really just a blast. It was one of the most fun times I've ever had. I felt bad for having as much fun as I did. And, I'm a villain in that. I'm really an okay guy, though.
But that's the coolest parts of the villain. The coolest parts and the nicest people are the villains.
They are. Especially in these movies, the villains are.
Did we just lose Leo? That's random and weird. But anyways.
Oh, my God. It's like Unfriended 3.
I know. The wicked dark web.
Oh, my God.
We should split up. We should split up and go look for him.
I'll be right back.
I was gonna say, like, you know, it's not a bad thing to be the baddie in the horror movie. Like those are the ones that people wait in line for at conventions. Exactly. You know, I mean, I don't know if that's ever anything you want to do, but it's you know, there's that, and then there's, you know, some of the nicest people I know, like Kane Hodder, is a sweetheart. But, you know, he murders people for a living. You know?
Yeah, so, he pretends to murder people for a living.
I know. Leo's messaging me.
No. This was a lot of fun. And this character's a real son of a bitch. So, real just fucking nasty piece of work. So, and that was fun. Yeah, it was just great.
That sounds like a blast. That's kind of why I did.
That's you know horror movies, so you do a couple there, and then everyone is like, "He'll just do all the horror movies." So you keep getting people like, "I'm doing a movie in my basement. You got to be in it," because this guy, that guy, and he wore a mask, and this person wore a mask, and you all wore masks, and like, I'm like, "Oh, hold on." What Tommy Faircloth was like, "You're a sarcastic asshole on Facebook. Do you want to be a sarcastic asshole in my movie?" I was like, "Mask? All right, I'll do it." So, yeah. Anyway.
I Leo messaged me and asked me, because I'm assuming he's going to try to fix everything while this happens, but he asked if I could introduce another Deadly Grounds commercial, because he's going to fix things while that plays. So, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Deadly Grounds. Leo,
roll take that it away.
What happens? Is a commercial play, like video?
Yeah.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. We have very active lifestyles. It's not all wandering the countryside aimlessly or scaring passing motorists. And we all love a good cup of joe. And there's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds coffee is my guilty pleasure. Bold, robust, delicious. It's coffee that can wake the dead. With over a dozen different roasts and flavors, Deadly Grounds can satisfy the most finicky of coffee addicts. The aroma is so intoxicating, it It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door! Oh, they're so disgusting.
I would say it's probably the feel-good movie of the year.
I'm assuming. Well, let's see.
I mean,
again?
Do you like do people being sawed in half from their crotch down? Is that like a thing that like that you usually look for in a movie?
It's a Sunday.
It worked in my average Sunday too.
it's
like
it's
a feel-good preschool special.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, he's a good guy.
After school special. Well, they did the same thing in Bone Tomahawk, but I think it was with Tomahawks, wasn't it?
Produced by the same guy that did Strangers. Friday Night.
All right. Nice.
And like I said, they did the same thing in Wrong Turn 2, you know, with an axe.
I didn't see Wrong Turn 2.
So I think we're back.
They kind of went on a downward spiral.
I don't know.
Yep.
He said all good, question mark. But Leo's video is still not here.
Yeah, he disappeared, but I think he did. Yeah, no one said anything, so I think he didn't realize he disappeared.
So let's see if I can.
Well, you disappeared, Leo.
Okay.
So, anyways.
Disappearing Leo.
Tony, do you have any questions for our guests?
Yeah, I was actually, you know, it seems like Damien's been on movies with a big budget and a little budget. Do you find it the same problems with. I'm sure there's a little bit less with a bigger budget, but do you see, you know, the same stuff happen in the similarities, I guess, in both kind of movies, or?
No. I mean, I personally probably, I prefer like a little more kind of a guerrilla aspect, you know, kind of like old school John Cassavetes, you know, he hated all the, now there's less people.
I'm really wondering if this is becoming Unfriended 3, just saying.
For real. Did anyone see Unfriended 2, by the way? Because this is totally what happens.
No, I wanted to see it. Well, Erica, you're safe. I mean, they can't get rid of the only woman first.
Right? There has to be a final girl. Does anyone else want to be the final girl?
That's true. I don't have the hair for it.
Well, can I be the fucking survivor for once? So the person that asked me the question has disappeared from existence. So I still keep
that's
talking.
Okay. But because the person disappeared doesn't mean the question doesn't
the
exist.
Yeah. You're saying you like more of a guerrilla style.
I mean, that's how I like. I don't like waiting for setups and stuff. Like the bigger the production, the more lights, the more crew, the longer everything takes to set up. So, you know, you rehearse a scene, you get up there, and then you do the take of it, and then they got to set up for the next angle, whatever. I mean, you know. If you've got people know what they're doing, the lighting is set for that. But it's a lot of waiting. The higher up it goes.
So how would you compare Strangers Pray at Night to, I mean, was that a big budget in your opinion, or was that just kind of like middle of the road or what?
Well, I mean, as far as Hollywood standards go, it would be low budget. You know, it's probably, I don't even know. Five or 7 million or something. You know, it's,
so you weren't holding any booms, no boom mic holding in that movie.
No, those trailers and everything. Great food.
I was just thinking compared to the way you answered the question, you're like, so with Hollywood movies, there's a little bit more waiting around for setup. So I was trying to say, what was it like, you know, on Strangers?
That was a pretty good crew. And we waited on planes probably the most there, actually. We were filming near Cincinnati, Kentucky International Airport, so the
commercial airliners would always be going overhead, and coyotes would be singing in the background every now and then. That was a pretty good crew, but I mean, it's a lot of weight.
Yeah,
you know, like Mark Duplass nowadays, like he's someone I really respect. He you know, he did Creep 2, and anytime he goes to direct something, I mean, it's all the bullshit's cut off, you know, like,
right.
You know, all this excess, like you don't need filmmaking, you know, it doesn't need to be that difficult. And
well, it sounds like what Erica was
actors and you build these actors up and, you know, the actors now, you know, they need everything and they got to have, you know, and they can't walk to set. They have to be, you know, in a transpo van. And it just keeps going, and they make more than everyone. And it's like this self-cannibalizing thing. I say this as an actor and someone who was, you know, treated very well on, you know, especially Strangers and Haunt, you know, productions with, you know, that were SAG and had, you know, the money to do it. But it's like you have removed actors from the rest of the production. They are holier than thou, especially on like these sets. Not anyone in the Strangers. I mean, that was a great group of people, but like the crew won't talk to them, and they're you're raised as a producer or a crew member to treat these people, you know, on a pedestal, because you know they're the face of your movie. They're the, you know, the stars. So that I don't like about. And I think it causes delays and it siphons money out. And I don't like it. I just wish people just cast things and make good fucking movies instead of all this crap.
Yeah. I've only been on the set of one movie, but I thought the way that it ran was very smooth, but it's also nothing compared to even like the newer Strangers movie. It's like budget wise. You know, but you can see like there's a lot of people just standing around. There's a lot of, you know, someone needs a trailer over here and someone needs this over here.
And that's, you know, and there are people who, like, people don't want to make movies like how Duplass is making them now, because it doesn't feel like a legitimate movie to you. So like, and you're brought up, you're raised as a movie person, you go to film school and stuff. I mean, if there aren't like 30 people standing around doing nothing, you know, that's not a real film set. Like, you can't make a real movie with six people or whatever the fuck. And it's ridiculous. You know, so it's, there are people that will not sign up for a movie without people standing around in useless departments.
Well, I mean, one of the things that I'm feeling that like A Nun's Curse is going to be this direction, but one of the things that I've found, and even starting with Christy Ray in Pieces of Talent, a lot of smaller, like very small budget independent, you know, movies are better quality and more original that I've seen in the last like handful of years. So from a movie like fan and someone who's looking for something original and looking for something with passion behind it, that's where I'm going. I'm going more towards the independent stuff because those are people that actually want to tell a story. They're not just people that want to fill their wallet. They actually have a story to tell. And
you can't put original stuff out in theaters. I mean, you gotta be part of a franchise.
And I think there's a sense of like indie grit. I think that exists. And I think there's a sense of when you have smaller crews on things, there's a sense of people, everyone from, you know, a grip to like a gaffer, key PA, everyone just feels a sense of creative ownership over what they're doing on set because they feel useful because they're not standing around. So I think those smaller crews, you get people that, you know, they have that fire under their butt and they're going to go, you know, 110% and go above and beyond because they feel needed and they, you know, and they feel, and it does feel like a collective web and a unit. So I think that comes through and why some of those like lower budget. Yeah. But I think the passion comes through and obviously there, you have to have an eye for that, for like a cinematic, how to cinematically tell a story, you know. So I think that there's that sort of thing that is learned from working on sets, and whether they're big sets or small. But I think that comes across. That's probably a lot of what you're talking about. So
I will say, though, that while I like the smaller crews and stuff, like, I'm not going to be touching anything because, like, I have very delicate hands and, like, you know, I'm not going to be lifting stuff. So
not even a boom pole.
Well, it would bring me back to the day maybe.
And one thing too, and we've said it on the show like a billion times, like over the years, but the horror fans are some of the most passionate fans. Like, you don't have a rom-com convention like every year in New York City.
Not yet.
You know, it's just all these booths with just guys leaning back to back with a girl. Oh, that's what all the posters are. And then, but I mean, they're ravenous. Like, people that are fans of Felissa Rose are going to buy everything she's in. People that are fans of Christy Ray are going to buy everything she's in. You know, that's the thing is, like, even though not all the movies are going to be winners, there's still going to be, you know, there's people out there that are going to support anyone they're a fan of.
Nobody hates things like horror fans, though, either.
That's true.
Nobody hates as much as a horror fan.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I tend to try to find the good, a little good in everything.
Well, I fucking hate that.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I fucking hate that. I fucking love that. They either love or hate.
But you know,
horror is the only genre of movie where you can make a low budget or no budget movie with no names and still find an audience for it. You can't do that with rom-coms or dramas or anything like that. That's why it's the best.
Yeah.
Unless it's 1994 and your name is Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Because Clerks was a comedy that came out of nowhere that just, you know.
One of
they were like
lightning in a bottle there.
Hmm.
No, I said, I mean, I said a specific time, like, unless it's 94 and your name is Kevin Smith. So, I mean,
I can think of another comedy that did that. Weekend at Bernie's. They all knew Andrew McCarthy.
So Leo, who apparently is still here, and so isn't Tony, even though we can't see them. I'm assuming they're poltergeists. He asked me to throw it to him for a couple seconds so we could try to refresh something. So I'm throwing it to Leo right now. So Leo, there you go.
Okay. Hopefully they don't talk over me while this
disconnect.
And so I apologize. Some behind the scenes items. So I'm just restarting the session to bring them back and hopefully they'll be able to see me. We got a bunch of people in the chat room. I want to thank everybody for watching this evening. We got probably about 10 minutes left of the show. So if you have any questions, post them in the chat room, either on YouTube or Facebook, and I'll make sure that we do our best to get to them. Pat Bro was asking, what were Damien's expectations for Strangers Pray at the Night? And actually, if you watched earlier, we did talk quite a bit about Strangers. I'll make sure that we re-ask that. And looks like we have Tony back as well. And can everybody hear me? Okay. So, awesome. All good, Kevin?
We still don't have Tony, but that's okay. At least I don't have Tony.
I don't have Tony either.
Yeah, said it. He connected, but I don't see any video or audio for him. So I was saying in the chat room, Pat Bro was asking, what were Damien's expectations for Strangers Pray at Night?
And where they met. Where they met.
I'll say that this was the only movie where... The finished product was equal or better than what I had in my head. You know, like when you read something, I mean, you know, you see it the way you see it. When you're reading a book or a script, whatever, you know, it plays out in your head. You know, if you know who's, you know, if you read Jurassic Park now, you visualize Sam Neill as Alan Grant. You know, it just happens. So reading the script, especially the pool scene, you know, you have expectations for it. And then it all looked and kind of played pretty much better than I had in my head movie. And that's pretty great. I mean, you don't get that too much. So it really, that was the movie that I kind of hoped that we were going to set out to do. I mean, that's awesome. And I just think, I mean, it's a kind of a fun, bonkers slasher flick. And that's what it is. And some people don't accept that. That's not what they wanted Strangers 2 to be, but that's what it is. Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. Definitely stand behind it. I really, really enjoyed it. And, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have done it if, you know, I read the script and I thought the script was fun, and then the movie surpassed that. So,
you want to say Wolfie?
I was going to say, you know, I love the original that came out in 2008, but when I saw the sequel this year, I really enjoyed it. I think I was like one of the people that enjoyed it more than others. I had high expectations for it, but I still liked everything that came out of that movie. I mean, they brought the three main characters back, and they were pretty badass compared to the original. And the story wise, it was a cool movie. So I enjoyed it. Yeah. I have nothing.
I enjoyed
about
it too. I do have to say that I do like the original better in a different way though, because it was more suspense in the first one.
It was more atmospheric.
Right. Yeah. That's. Like, it takes a lot to scare me, and I was very uneasy at the first one. The second one, I wasn't as uneasy, or I wasn't uneasy really at all, but it was still badass at the same time. Like,
exactly.
The stuff that was happening was badass, and it was cool, and it was awesome to see that in a theater, you know, as opposed to just on my TV, you know, to see a theatrical release where they're doing that stuff, you know?
You saw the original in the theater.
I did, but I'm saying it's been such a long time, and I've always, like... That's one of those, when people bash mainstream horror, that's one of the movies I refer to all the time. It's like,
oh, I know.
Because it scared the shit out of me. Like, you know. But anyways. Silence. So, Erica, what else do you have going on with the production company? What else do you have? Do you have anything else coming out?
So, Christy and I have written together a feature film that I'm going to direct and she's going to act in, and it's called The Waka, and it's set in the Appalachian Mountains, and we're looking to shoot it in spring of next year, so late spring. And it's kind of a psychological suspense drama, but it also has a lot of heart to it, so that's where we're, and it definitely has a lot of, we're working right now with an independent crew that we're working on another feature that's filming in Wilmington right now. And we're probably going to use a lot of that same crew again when we shoot in the spring. So I'm excited. We're still kind of working out
the
details.
Suspense drama with heart.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I've just been thinking about that since you said it.
Yeah, it's a nice little, it's a lot of things, but I think it tackles all of those, you know, the landscape plays a big role in it. Just being out in the woods. It's a period piece. It's set in 1972. So it's just five characters out in the woods in the 70s. So it's going to be fun. I'm really excited.
Nice. Deliverance.
With less banjos, I think.
There is not a banjo. Unless we build that in and use it as a weapon, but I don't know
if we will.
You go down south into the woods in the 70s. That's what you gotta expect.
But the forest was littered with banjos back then. Everyone knows this.
Yeah.
You just wild.
Yeah. Now that Tony's back, it's after 10.
It is.
So we should probably start wrapping things up.
So was there anything else we needed to cover, or we're good?
You have one too.
You have this guy's head sticking out of your... What's his name?
Oh, yeah.
David Long.
David Long.
Crazy.
We're obsessed. Sorry. You need to see it. You need to track it down.
Yes. I guess, yeah. I think Corey Norman has one. I think grab a copy of Corey. The guy that directed the werewolf movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Leo.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So we'll wrap things up. And yeah, it's kind of weird. I don't have Tony's video, but we'll start it off with Damien. Damien, where do you like people following you on social media?
On the streets. You can follow me wherever the hell you want. Doesn't mean I'm going to follow you back. Just kidding. Heyo. It's Ed McMahon. You kids don't know who he was.
Oh, yes, I do. I'm older than you.
Not you kids.
Oh, okay.
The kids that are watching. The real kids.
The actual children.
He thought I was talking to him. Instagram. It's Damien Maffei. It's the same name. It's my name on all of them. I make it really easy for you to find. I'm all about accessibility. So on the Twitter, I'm on there. You can get me on the Facebook. I'm interactive on there. You know, I kind of try to respond to everyone. It's not easy all the time. Don't send me boob pictures.
Especially if you're a dude.
It's really, it's getting a little too much. That's a genuine message from me. Don't want them. Or the penis things. Felissa. So, you can follow me on there. Was that a good answer to the question?
It was, yeah. I like the Felissa thing at the end. That was funny.
Okay. And Erica?
Yeah, Facebook and Instagram. Instagram is Erica Arley. That's my middle name. It's A-R-L-E-E. So, those are probably my two platforms. I used to snap. I don't really anymore too much.
It's done now, isn't it? It's done.
Snap is lit.
It's yeah. It's I was totally stoked on how lit Snap was back in the day, but...
Snapchat is the Vine of last year. I don't know.
I see hundreds of people every day with the fucking dog face. You cannot tell me Snapchat is.
Well, it's on Instagram.
They're all using the smooth. It'll make everyone look like nice dogs.
Yeah, but it's on Instagram now too.
Porcelain dogs.
So what if that's over with? What are people doing?
Pokemon Go? Instagram. Yeah, they're still doing Pokemon Go.
I play that. I do.
Do you really? You know how many people at my work that I walk by their desks and they're just supposed to be doing things and they're playing Pokemon Go at work? It drives me crazy. I have no idea.
You pick up the Pokemon that's nearby.
I don't know.
You put out a lure, an incense. You got to bring them to you. Yeah, I play it all the time now. I don't care.
Don't judge me.
Well, one thing we want to make sure is check out the show notes down below or up above, depending on where you're watching us, to learn more about A Nun's Curse. Also, our awesome guests here, Damien and Erica. And also make sure you check out our shows. We do this multiple times a week, every Sunday at 10 a.m., except this Sunday I'm going to be on vacation. Every Tuesday at 9 p.m. is
except
our
for next Tuesday, because we'll both be on vacation.
Exactly. And every other Thursday at 9 p.m. for the Ultimate Video Game Show.
Except and, for doing one this Thursday since you're going to be on vacation.
All depends on my schedule of packing, but we're going to try to fit one in. We'll see how it goes. Yo-Yo?
You can find me at Boy Meets Phone on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, wherever you're doing your social media. It should probably be somewhere around there. Also Yo Saint Laurent on those same social media channels, and of course here.
Okay, and cross your fingers. Hopefully Tony's audio and everything is ready.
He's there. Tony.
Well, you can find me on YouTube, on Twitter, on
Horimino, and on the Stardust app at Tony Has Nine Fingers. And you can find me on Instagram, Tony's Movies, where I show off the movies behind me. And, of course, here on the Dorkman.
Yeah, I know he's there. I just didn't know if he was back into broadcast software. Wolfman.
You can follow me on YouTube, The 13th Wolfman, Twitter at The 13th Wolfman, Tumblr, 13th Wolfman, The Prowl, every Sunday on The Dorkening, every Tuesday on Wicked Horror Show, doing the horror one with Kev. Of course, when we're done with that, we'll be doing Wicked Horror Reviews. And check out my latest sit-down I just put up today, Jake Jackson from Exposure, talking about his love of movies and his love of making the creatures come alive. Kev?
A-Knuckle on Twitter and Instagram. I don't do Snapchat anymore because I'm cool like you guys. And
it's lit.
I'm not lit though, so I can't. I'm woke though. I'm not really woke. You can find me on The Dorkening, of course, the Wicked Horror Show, and doing stuff with Wolfie, and on vacation next week. Hooray. Leo?
Yeah. Also, you can
find me
on
Pokemon Go at Lord Summer Isle, and also Pokemon Go Sackhead.
Oh,
sure.
All right.
Because he was emotional, the man in the mask. You know, he had emotion. It was an arc.
Okay.
So, I made it while we were shooting it. So.
Okay. Leo.
Just Google Leo Pond. You'll find a bunch of stuff about me. All true from what I've heard. And I'm going to be on vacation next week, but not with Kevin. We're going to be, a couple hundred miles apart?
I don't know. I don't even know where you're going.
You can find me at Lake Winnipesaukee.
Oh, are you going to go to Fun Spot?
Hell yeah, and I'm going to bring the new camera and maybe do an interview there.
Of maybe the people that
run Fun Spot.
All right, good luck.
Yeah. Why did you try to do that when you were there?
I got some pretty dirty looks when I was there. So yeah, good luck.
You're going to Weir's Beach?
Weir's Beach, dude.
Weir's Beach?
Wicked Weir's Beach.
Is that one of the beaches?
I spend a lot of time in Lake Winnipesaukee.
Where's Beach up by Fun Spot? I think that's right there, isn't it? Where's Beach?
I think so.
It's right by the drive-in, which I think is gone now. And there used to be an Aqua Slide Park, which is also gone now.
Hmm.
So maybe the drive-in's still there. I'll check in a month.
Fun Spot is a classic arcade museum. So it's like a whole giant museum of old school arcade.
It's huge. Yeah.
That's where they did King of Kong, that documentary that gives you douche chills and you watch it.
Yeah, well, that guy got all his stats revoked.
Let's not even get into this.
Okay. We'll catch you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody.
I hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want to be part of a future show, you can find us over on YouTube or Facebook, where we broadcast all our episodes multiple times a week live in front of an online audience where you can interact with us and our guests. Our main show, The Dorkening, is produced live on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. The Wicked Horror Show comes at you Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And the Ultimate Video Game Show zooms in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. This has been a Dorkening Network production powered by New Media Promotions. You can learn more about our network by heading on over to www.thedorkening.com.